Welcome to the Idea Climbing Podcast. Branding isn't just for the big boys. Even small businesses can become trusted brands with the right strategies. That's what I discuss in this episode with my guest, Brian Kramer. Brian is a relentless entrepreneur, three-time CEO, investor, coach, mentor, author, and optimist dedicated to helping you grow your business while living your best life. We cover topics such as the starting point for even smaller entrepreneurs to become trusted brands, the three pillars that all trusted brands share, why there's no way to fake trust into your marketing, and more golden nuggets of advice. I hope you enjoy the show. Welcome to the Idea Climbing Podcast. Today, I'm with a guy called the Zen Master to Digital Marketers by Forbes. It's Brian Kramer. He's a renowned business strategist, global keynote speaker, executive trainer and coach, two times best-selling author, and a Forbes contributor. He keeps busy. Thank you for being here, Brian. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I really appreciate it as well. I'm looking forward to it.
And I'd love, we're going to talk about trust today, and particularly the brand connection to trust for business owners. How did you come up with that? I mean, you did a lot of work around it. How do you come up with that topic of brand connection to your customers?
It feels like the next best evolution of the first two books that I wrote, and the also what I'm fascinated by. So a little bit of a mix to all that. The first book, Human to Human, really begs for, how do we build relationships, and how do we do that in a digital spectrum? Mm-hmm. Then Shareology, which is how do we share what, how, when, where, and why people and brands share. So the next evolution of those two really felt to me like it just made sense. Also, if you follow the Edelman report that they put out every year called the Trust Barometer, it just came out for this last year. And it's one of my favorite things. I look forward to it every year, which tells you what kind of a geek I am about this kind of stuff. And it's in it, they said that trust is at the lowest level that it's ever been, as it pertains to, brands. And yes, they called out the government as a brand. Every level of branding, has, the lowest level it's been. And I see an opportunity there to reshape what trust means to us. And so that's really where it came from.
There could be a lot of reasons. Why do you think trust is at an all-time low for brands these days? I mean, what direction does it go in? What do you think?
Yeah. I'm going to stay away from the politics and we'll just dive into the brand side. Because it's a different answer. The idea behind why I think that, and what I've been researching around why trust is really low is because we have so many options. We are, and you are, and I am, we're the fickle customer era. We have so many choices and we don't have to go to our product anymore. The product comes to us. If you're looking at it as a service too, it's really easy, for us to be able to see, things that we don't like, and it really gets highlighted that much more with social media. So mm-hmm. when we see somebody having a bad experience on social media, it makes it that much easier for us to think, well, I have that experience too. Maybe I should switch. And so, it's really a magnifying glass on the fickle customer right now. And until you, and I know we all know about the raving fan, but I think it has to go higher than that. I think we have to have a deep connection into the brand, almost like we do a best friend in a relationship. Wow. And when we have that best friend relationship, that's when we're going to be brand loyal. But other than that, it's the loyalty, the brand loyalty that we once knew is now dissipated.
If someone's out there, maybe they're not a big brand, but they're an entrepreneur, how do you start building that loyalty and trust? How do you start becoming a friend or somebody to look towards? What's the starting point of all this?
Yeah. So I break it down into three different pillars. And when you combine all three together, you've hit the gold mine. The first one, and you can work on them independently and individually until you hit that gold mine. The first one's simplicity. And I know it sounds simple, but it's not. I mean, when you look at the brands out there, and Mark, I'm sure you can come up with maybe one or two brands that maybe embraces simplicity. You know, is there one that comes to mind for you that embraces simplicity? Like, oh my God, yeah, of course they do.
Oh my God, Apple. I'm thinking we just got the new Apple TV box and the remote is so simple. And I look at the one, the multi one I got at the store. And it's like, what the heck? 100 buttons. Apple's just like play, pause, turn it on. And it works.
Yeah. Yeah. And as a brand, they're that way too. Right.
Yeah.
So you know that if you, and the interesting thing about Apple is from a customer experience standpoint, if you feel like talking to a human, you can. And if you feel like not talking to a human, you don't have to. They've made it possible for us to have both connections. Mm-hmm. So that is really super important when building trust. Like some people are going to want that and some people aren't. And then you can look at the simplicity of how they deliver that. And that's just like astounding to me. I think there's a bunch of brands that are doing that, but it's really not super adopted just yet. The next one's empathy. Empathy is a brand that embraces empathy, not a brand that is trying to take advantage of it, but somebody who embraces it. So empathy could look like customer service. A lot of times it could look like, a Red Cross, as a nonprofit. It could look like all kinds of things. It could look even internally in having empathy for your own employees. And how do you have empathy for how you take care of your people? So there's a lot of different ways that empathy can strike. Is there a brand that you think that embraces empathy really well?
Empathy, I would say a rare case of it, and I won't mention the name, but the hospital system I'm involved with in my healthcare has just been, it's generally okay. They follow up. Was it okay? The doctors are really, it's not just come in, prescribe, get out. They actually do follow up. They actually do in the room. I feel like, okay, you actually care what's going on with me and why I'm here, even if it's just an annual checkup. And I've never had an experience like that with the healthcare system. It's always been the opposite.
Wow. See that? No. Me either, not in the US anyway.
Yeah.
That's incredible. So I might throw out something like Amazon for a different reason, only because they'll return anything, pretty much. They become the Nordstrom of that old fat tire that somebody returned, whether that really happened or not, I don't know. Yeah. But somebody actually once supposedly returned a tire to Nordstrom and they took it back. It's kind of that same theory with Amazon. But if you think about Amazon, it's like, how do you do that globally at such scale and be able to make sure that we empathize with the fact that this product might not be for you on any level? And for the most part, we're going to take it back. So I think that that's kind of global empathy. And if entrepreneurs are thinking, well, how can I match empathy? Mm-hmm. Well, if Amazon can do it globally, you can do it locally. Just think about what's possible for you, because it is is much harder for them to do what they do than it is for an entrepreneur to do what they do when it comes to empathy. The last one is imperfection, and imperfection is the opposite of everyone on Instagram. It's basically, us really embracing the imperfection of things, especially as AI is coming out right now. How do we sympathize with somebody? How do we understand someone? How do we listen to what's going on? And then how do we respond when we've screwed up? Because brands are going to screw up. They're going to screw up even more as AI comes into the mix, because they're going to try to use AI and it won't work. Yep. And it's going to look like a robot did it. And then we're going to have to, have egg on our face. And so how do we embrace that imperfection of us trying to be perfect? And there is no perfection. So that's going to be like the most interesting dichotomy, I think, in the next decade, is the differences between those two. Any brand come to mind in somebody who embraces imperfection?
Embraces imperfection. I would say the video and audio place, like it's the go-to for the experts for equipment. And they're similar to Amazon. They'll take anything back. They go a step further and say, for any reason.
Yeah.
So if it's not the perfect fit for me, if it's not exactly what I need, literally no questions asked, just send it back in its package, you're done.
Brilliant.
And brilliant. I don't have to worry about it. And I end up, of course, what it works. I spend more money with them and buy higher end products. It's like, oh, I can just return it if I don't like it. And I like it. And so I keep it.
Yeah. See that? Yep. Pay attention, entrepreneurs. This is what's happening. You know, I can also I'll throw out another, I'm trying to come up with examples that are different, that shows the flavor, which might be like Dove. Dove celebrates the imperfection of skin, in their advertising and their marketing and how they see people. And they've been able to actually accentuate that in their brand message. So, anyway, when you put all three of these together, you've struck a gold mine because you're going to attract people in and make trust a real core center when you have all three. That because if you think about your best friend, these are the three things that you trust most about that best friend. That they celebrate these three things. They are like human in these ways, and you want to love them more and you want to stand by them no matter what. So why can't brands be the same thing? They can. You just have to focus on them. So that's the interesting, that's really the key ingredients. If I were to put my finger on anything, bringing more trust to how to build it in.
Well, when it comes to trust in the branding space, let's look at the other side of the coin. What do people do wrong? What shouldn't they do when it comes to building trust and building your brand?
I think it's evident, and in most of the time, we all have this little radar that goes off that says that's not right, or that doesn't make sense. Why did they answer it that way? Why didn't they answer faster? I don't trust that person in the way that their body language is going off in as they're standing there delivering something. We have this innate sensor in us that it enables us to be able to detect. It's almost like a trust detector. Okay. And that trust detector is really the barometer that we should be using when we're trying to put something out into the world to say, what would my trust barometer say if I were to be the observer of this thing that we're going to do right now? So that's really like, I know I'm coming back around to answer a question in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
But that's what you have to do is you have to play out. Is that something that my trust barometer would really trust? Is that like, for instance, let's take all three of those: simplicity, empathy, and imperfection. A brand that, sorry if I'm naming a brand and calling it out in front of everyone, but the opposite of those three is Facebook. We don't trust Facebook with simplicity, for sure. With empathy, I don't think so. No. And imperfection, well, they're trying to help people become more perfect, or at least, showcase that there's perfection in the world. And they don't really acknowledge a lot that they screwed up, like that they have, maybe this wasn't the right direction for us to head. So these are areas that if they're listening right now, I'd encourage them to adopt these three things and see what that does for the brand. Because now all of a sudden, I think they could turn their brand into a trust brand. Now, does a trusted brand in this kind of like gets us to the question is, does a trusted brand create more revenue? Absolutely. Do you have to be a trust brand to create revenue? No, you do not. Because at a certain point, it is going to hurt you. And I think that once you surpass that certain point, and that's part of the research that I'm doing right now. So I don't have an answer to that, but, at a certain point, I think we have to build trust brands up till like we get to be like that $1 trillion company. So if we're an Apple, we're a Tesla, we're a Facebook, we are a juggernaut. Well, then we have a little room for where we live in the world. But as an entrepreneur, we don't have much room. We have to build ourselves as trust brands. We have to create that and embed that in. And then as we go, we just have to keep that in line. That's the hard part.
When it comes to the trust barometer or the trust test, whatever you want to call it, what can the smaller entrepreneurs, business owners, the people really trying to make a brand for themselves, what else can they do to intentionally set themselves up to pass the trust barometer, the trust test? What else can they do? What kind of strategies?
Oh, that's a great question. So one of them is who we put out in front, how we're delivering the story, mm-hmm. how that's being messaged or delivered. And then also how we are making sure that we do what we say we're going to do. If a lot of companies put out a product or a service and deliver it at half or 75% of what they say they're going to do, that's more important than the marketing or anything else. You have like you could be the best salesperson, the best marketer, the best anything in the world and deliver nothing, and your product sucks and your company won't last. You could then create the best product in the world and have the worst marketing and the worst sales and still create a killer company. And so think about that. The product and the user experience is key and becomes almost your new marketing. It becomes your sales. It becomes everything else. So that's where I think that we have to be careful, especially with now hundreds of new AI companies starting to launch. We're going to all see like a new generation of company launch. And what does that mean for our trust right now in the data that we're handing over? I mean, we're just feeding gobs of data in. And yes, I love it because I don't have to do hours of work. I can do seconds of work. And at the same time, you know, all it takes is one little whoops. And mm-hmm. now I'm like, oh, I'm not coming back to this again. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of interesting moments coming up.
You mentioned marketing a couple of times. Is there a way to bake trust into your marketing intentionally, or does it just happen organically?
I'm going to turn that question into, is there a way to fake trust into your marketing?
Let's do it.
And no, there isn't. There is no way that you can fake marketing or fake trust into your marketing. I think that it's innate. And I really think that it's kind of like our body language or our actual body language and how we show up and speak and what we say and do is the same thing as our digital body language, is the same thing as our AI body language, is the same thing as our product and delivery. And then yes, it's the same thing as our marketing. So like you look at Wendy's, I mean, I know we all love looking at Wendy's and how they tweet or how they Facebook post all their posts, mm-hmm. the humor that comes across and the way that they, I think like the Facebook and Instagram were down the other day and they said, well, something like while you're down, while the internet basically is down or while Facebook and Instagram are down, you might as well go get a Wendy's burger. I'm like,
that's beautiful.
Who does that? You know, like, so, you know, there's like all these little, I've always been fascinated with that. Not because it's just like some smart person or a smart group of people that are like, hey, cool, let's do this. It's because the brand allows them to. And that to me, like makes me trust the brand. Like mm-hmm. It almost makes the burger taste better. Like, yeah, I just want to go actually have a Wendy's burger because you guys are so good at being real in real time. And that right there is my favorite kind of person too. I love comedians because not all of them, but I like a lot of them who like show up and they make me laugh and they take me out of my my current situation and make me think about something else, or and they entertain me in some way. Why can't a brand do that, but do that authentically, as sucky as that word is, because everyone overuses it? It actually is going to be, I think, the most interesting word over the next decade, because we're going to all ask, is that real? We are going to ask that more times than we ask anything else.
Yep.
Is that real? Did they really write that? Did that image really get created by a photographer or by an AI? Is that real? Will become the de facto statement that we use. And is that real? Is at the epicenter of trust, which is the most fascinating thing to me.
We have covered a lot of ground in a short period of time. When it comes to building trust, as a brand, and to clarify to watchers and listeners, I think everyone's a brand. I would think you kind of agree with that, Brian, that everyone's a brand, whether they like it or not. They're putting out an image every day. So is from an entrepreneur's perspective, if you were to say to someone that said, I love what you said, you know, the three things, what not to do, trust. If you were to tell them to get started on the right path, do one thing, at least if nothing else, do this one thing to get the ball rolling. What would you tell them to do?
I would say walk over to your whiteboard, map out all of the touch points that you have right now with your current and potential clients that you use in your marketing and sales and in your customer service, all three of those. And then I want you to step back and say, now how do I put more human moments inside of that? Where is one or two more human moments that I can get into these, all of these different things that exist, and watch what happens? Because if you can raise your engagement is my favorite KPI. Because if we can raise engagement, we can raise everything else. We can raise revenue. We can raise attention. We can raise awareness. We can raise sales. Everything goes up when you raise engagement. So yeah. Take a step back from your whiteboard and look for the human moments and raise engagement.
Thank you so much, Brian. If people want to find you online, where's the best place to go?
Best place is on my website. It's at briancremer.com. And that's Brian with a Y, Kramer with a K. And all my social, my newsletter, everything's there. And I really appreciate it, Mark. Thank you so much. This has been a really fun time.
Thanks, Brian. I agree. I think it's been awesome. I really appreciate it. Thank you for tuning into the Idea Climbing Podcast. If you'd like to hear from a lot more experts, the Idea Climbing book is now available at ideaclimbingbook.com. You can also hear more podcasts at ideaclimbing.com. Hope to see you in one of those two venues. Have a great one.